Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Ilana Godley, she is a restaurant owner, and the story about the Beth Din is really a story about inflated prices and inflated prices for kosher food, which comes down to us. It is our bottom line, and with a diminishing community in size, we need to look at how we're spending our money. A lot of people saying, well, a lot of suppliers saying, well, it's not really worth catering to the Jewish community when we have to pay these exorbitant Beth Din fees, which ultimately we have to pass on to the consumer. So all of these things are making kosher food more expensive for us. So I've asked Ilana to join us this morning, and she is the owner of Frangelica's. It is a coffee shop, and I want to find out from her about, you know, costs around restaurants. Is it the same situation for kosher eateries and restaurants, coffee shops? Good morning, Ilana. How are you?
Hi, Kathy. Good morning. Morning, ma'am, team.
Good morning.
All right, Ilana, what sort of costs do you have to incur, or do you pay for the pay to the kosher department at the Beth Din in order to have a kosher license?
So, Kathy, can I just step back into some of this juice me, and thank you for allowing me this forum. And also the tale you told about the mouse and the rat and the hearts you like and the palms you hate. It kind of, discussing the whole issue of costs in general and kosher fees and kosher process for us restaurateurs. And remember, Frangelica's is, we kind of have a few offerings to the Jewish community. So I'm speaking as both a caterer, a restaurateur, and a shop owner, because we have a retail shop as well. And at a home caterer. So there are a few different cases that we engage with our Beth Din customer and our Beth Din trademark. And just to say that just like the rat in the mouth, and parts that we like and the parts that we don't like, is really good and cute and operational things, and then sometimes there's a tail that freaks you out. But then to go to your second comment, which was the one around costs and fees, so cost as a restaurateur and as, you know, in the food industry, it's very, very hard to remain profitable. And I think if you look both in the kosher market and the non-kosher market, you'll see the amount of churn and turn that goes on in order to stay afloat. Very hard for businesses to stay afloat. And so the question of costs and the value that you get from those costs is applied across the board. And that's why costs applied always be under scrutiny to me and to my peers and partners in the marketplace. It is a commercial decision when you're speaking about costs. But remember, kashrut has got another leg, and that is the whole ethical leg, because the costs that you incur do not make practical sense. In other words, you don't need to have somebody take a lettuce leaf to make a salad, or for some of the manufacturers, we don't need to use any product that has come through a process in order to make your product. In the free market, you would buy from wherever you wanted, whenever you wanted, however you wanted, at the best price, and you'd be able to negotiate and invest.
What normally happens is that, you know, a restaurant would need lettuce and they would go off to the farmer's market, you know, in City Deep, and they'd buy their lettuce. Right.
Or they would, yeah, or they would engage directly with the farmers, etc. So basically what I'm saying, the point I'm making, is that kashrut and our kashrut license doesn't introduce any practical value to the production process. And that's not because of our Beth Din or anything. It's just that I'm saying the practical skills that you need to make a salad, to make a cake, to produce anything, have got nothing to do with kashrut supervision and the license are all spiritual dimensions, and they include practical things like checking eggs, checking lettuce, making sure that the ingredients, etc., are halachically allowable.
Okay, so we don't have a lot of time, which is why I'm going to ask you to please answer my question when I say, you know, what sort of costs are involved in running a restaurant that is kashrut certified?
There's a fee that you pay to the Beth Din for your license. Then you pay for stickers and ribbons and all, and then you have your mashgiach fee. So we have a cost, I think quite a large cost. And what my point was that cost is it make to be a kosher supplier. It's not something we need. I think you asked me what is our fee, or did you ask me what fees
do restaurants pay in order to be kosher certified?
You pay a license fee. You pay for every time you, for all those stickers that you use and all those tapes, every time you need a mashgiach, and if you are required to have full-time mashgiach supervision, you pay for a full-time employee at a debt rate, which is compared to any other rate that are in place in the industry. So those are the three layers of cost that you have, and they're levied monthly, and then obviously accrue annually, cost for your license and for the stickers and the tape. I guess that's where the kosher department, funds itself from.
What are your monthly fees?
So our monthly fees currently are sitting at, I mean, if we look at it in terms of all three of those things, we are paying over 20,000 rand a month to kosher supplier.
And is that including the mashgiach?
It includes the mashgiach, okay, which is a compulsory cost.
Yeah, and
it's not a voluntary.
Okay, and does that include if you do outside functions?
No, we have to pay extra for that if we have any functions or any events, and we have to pay that again at a prescribed rate.
Okay.
And we have to, yeah, and we are forced to use people who are in a certain pool. And unfortunately, I mean, I could talk to you about what some of the issues were, but I guess your question is more around an expose and a discussion around the costs that are associated. I suppose the point I wanted to make is, as a business owner, those costs are not necessary. They are a choice, because they give you access to a market. They don't give you anything in terms of your actual production process. They are straight costs that increase in terms of where you can buy, when you can buy, who you can buy from. And that limits your ability to a whole lot of your input costs as well. And that's over and above now the cost of your license, your tapes and stickers, and your mashgiach.
I wonder, you know, to come up with those costs on a monthly basis, excluding your any functions, right? So over 20,000 rand, that's a lot of award-winning cheesecakes that you have to sell. Really, Ilana,
it's very onerous, Kathy, because as I'm saying, there are those fixed costs which you know about, plus there's all the variable costs which you're not factoring in, which is, in order to build that cheesecake, I have to buy cheese from a certain place, and that negotiate price, which also has an effect on my ability in terms of the cost of production. And that goes for every single ingredient, apart from all the costs I incur in my own production kitchen, which are the costs, I said, of my license and my stickers and tapes and my mashgiach and my external.
Ilana, just as we wrap up, what would you like to see change?
Kosher suppliers and the Beth Din as the licensing organization, we should open channels of communication. There should be proper, legitimate, formal channels of communication about decisions that are made that impact our businesses. We need to have a way to engage with one another as partners, and sometimes decisions are made and they're absolute, and then we need to understand the thinking. Other times there are visions and ideas that are being explored, and we should be engaged in helping shape those things. And then when news comes down the line in terms of something being taken off the schedule, etc., which plays havoc with our whole production line, we need timely communication. We need to know why and when, and if that is going to impact, like, for instance, if we were buying certain things like those ice cream cones that you've been talking about, and there we now suddenly have to find another supply, and we've sold a whole lot of stuff that rely on that ingredient or that component, we now cannot deliver to our customers. So we need timely communication, like any other part of our production line. Things happen and will happen, and we accept that. It's transparency, openness, proper formal channels of communication, a partnership arrangement, and one of real kind of engagement as well as transparency when dealing with the Beth Din. We are proud of our kosher license, and we think we're good custodians of the Beth Din's trademark. We need and desire and beg to be treated as such.
Lana Godley, thank you very, very much. Just keep up that wonderful restaurant. Lots of messages coming through saying that they really enjoy Frangelica's. How are you coping in terms of business?
It's been a really long and difficult year, emotionally, financially, and I don't think we're different from anyone else. Thank God we have got support and we have got commitment from the community where and if they can, and we try and pay that back by supporting people who don't have. But it's been tough, Kathy. We are not financially out of the woods at all. And I think that most people in this industry are battling to stay alive and to have a vision beyond this year. But we're hanging in. So it's tough, but we're hanging in there, and we're really grateful for the support we get.
Amazing. Lana Godley, thank you very, very much for your time, and we wish you a good day. Thanks for chatting to us. God bless. Bye-bye.